Okay, the time now is 2:01 PM. I'll turn it over to you, Chairman Egan.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Owen Egan, and I am the Chairman of the Freedom of Information Commission. This is the regular meeting of the Commission, August 11th, 2021. Before we begin, I will take a roll call in alphabetical order so that the record reflects who is participating today. When I say your name, please indicate that you are present. Mr. Barry, Mr. Chavez, Mr. Einhorn.
This is Matthew Reed. Commissioner Einhorn just came on the screen now.
Okay, I'll wait.
He was just calling the roll, Commissioner Einhorn, and he just called your name.
Okay, I'm here, yes, thanks. I got kicked off before.
Thank you, Mr. Fuzeshi.
Here.
Mr. Hankins,
here.
Mr. Shaw. Mr. Streeter.
Here.
Mr. Winkler.
Here.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan, here. Thank you. This meeting is open to the public and is being conducted solely through the use of electronic equipment due to the COVID-19 pandemic. It will be recorded in its entirety. For everyone participating in today's meeting, please remember to identify yourself first for the recording each time that you are called upon to speak. All participants are expected to conduct themselves in a respectful manner at all times and not to interrupt the commission deliberations. If the commission believes any person's conduct is disruptive, that person will be placed on mute at the direction of the chairman. Further disruption may lead to that person's removal from the telephonic meeting. When the commission conducts a vote, it will be by roll call. I will conduct the roll. First item is consideration of the minutes of the commission's regular meeting of July 28, 2021. Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the minutes of the July 28, 2021 meeting.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
All in favor, I will take a roll. Mr. Einhorn? Mr. Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeshi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Did I miss anyone? Thank you. Next, we will consider the hearing officer's reports. The hearing officer's reports are publicly accessible on our website at www.ct.gov/FOI through links on the agenda for today's meeting. I will call the docket. If you are a party and wish to address the commission on a particular docket number, please let me know when I call it and we will mark it ready. We will take up the cases in the order that they are called. First is docket number FIC 2019-0677, Gregory Weathers versus Armando Perez, Chief Police Department, City of Bridgeport, et al. Mr. Weathers there, please.
Yes, here.
Do I to be heard, Mr. Weathers?
I honestly thought that my claim was dismissed, but
well, it was, but you have a right to speak to us because we have to adopt the hearing officer's report and we may not. It depends on who conspires today.
Okay.
Do you wish to be heard?
Yes.
Okay. Is anyone there for the police department for the city of Bridgeport?
Yes, this is Gina Scalo from the Office of the City Attorney in Bridgeport.
Thank you. Mark that ready. Next is FIC 2019-0723, Victor Velasco versus Roland Cook, Fishner State of Connecticut Department of Correction. Anyone there on that matter? Victor Valesco.
The Department of Good afternoon, Tracy Brown for the Department of Correction is here.
Victor Valesco there.
This is Council Supervisor Campanelli. I was just notified via email that he should be on the phone momentarily.
All right, we're going to mark that ready. Is docket number FIC 2020-0253, Diego Voss 2 versus Thomas Tenuto, Assessor, City of Bristol, et al. Anyone there on that matter?
Diego Again, Voss. The Department of Correction.
Yeah, this is Diego Voss.
Like to be heard, Mr. Voss?
Yes.
Hello? Mark that ready.
Mr. Voss, you there? Hello?
Attorney Brown, are you there for the City of Bristol?
I am here for the Department of Correction for Diego Voss and Victor Velasco.
Okay, thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2019-0756, Mike Savino and WFSB Channel 3 versus Director of Public Records, State of Connecticut, University of Connecticut Public Records Administration.
Mr. Chairman, Colleen Griffin, that matter was withdrawn for consideration by the hearing officer.
I see that. Thank you. Market is withdrawn. Next is docket number FIC 2019-0193, Charles Cornelius versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Charles Cornelius here. I'd like to be heard.
Thank you. Is there anyone here for the State of Connecticut?
Yes, this is Attorney McCurdy from the Department of Correction.
Hello.
Thank you.
I'm Mr. Velasco for you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Velasco, is that you?
Yes.
And we marked your matter ready. You're second on the list.
Okay.
All right, so sit tight. Thank you.
All right. Now I'm not going to be able to.
Before we consider the cases, I will ask the Executive Director and General Counsel, Colleen Murphy, to make some general announcements, please.
Sure. As has been stated, this matter is being recorded in its entirety, so there is no need for anyone to ask for a recording, and that recording will be available on our website very soon after this meeting is conducted. So it'll be available there, or you can contact our office if you have any issue getting that. Second, pursuant to regulations, oral argument is 10 minutes per side, and I'll keep track of that for the parties.
Thank you. All right. So we'll start with first matter is docket number FIC 2019-0677, Gregory Weathers versus Armando Perez, Chief Police Department, City of Bridgeport, et al. Are you there, Mr. Weathers? Weathers, are you there? Mr. Weathers there? Gregory Weathers.
Hello.
Gregory
yes,
Weathers.
Yes.
All right. You're ready to argue?
Yes.
Is Ms. Scala there? Attorney Scala?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Weathers.
Basically, my argument was based upon the fact that I was charged $67.75 for the amount of pages. I wasn't considered indigent according to DOC standards. I understand that there was case law upon it, but my hearing, that wasn't why my whole argument was that I shouldn't have been charged the DOC standard of indigence pertaining because I'm not indigent compared to the standard of the City of Bridgeport police as a regular class citizen.
Okay,
I noticed that my claim was dismissed because of the postmark date. But as far as being incarcerated, I placed it the same date that I placed it in, that it was stamped and notarized, which was 10/24. I placed it in the mailbox here. Now it was postmarked November 2nd, I believe. That was the reason why they dismissed my claim. But as far as I know, I'm, you know, being incarcerated, I'm not in control of the mail system. You know, so as far as I knew, my claim was mailed on time.
Thank you.
Kayla?
Yes, I'm here. So just to respond to Mr. Weathers' argument, I think the final decision or proposed final decision speaks for itself. The respondents are in full agreement with adoption of the hearing officer's report. The hearing officer arrived at a pretty practical conclusion based on the circumstances of the case and the evidence that had been ordered and was presented. Essentially, Mr. Weathers filed a preemptive complaint, and so the issues that were raised at the hearing or raised it in separate filings or correspondence, they're kind of not within the purview of this instant case. The fact that the city utilizes the Department of Corrections indigent standard, apart from the fact that that's a valid measure of indigence, it was unfairly raised at the hearing. And at the time of the complaint, I think it's fairly clear that the respondents had not denied Mr. Weathers' rights under the Freedom of Information Act, nor any time after the complaint. The respondents fully complied with his request, and Mr. Weathers paid the fee that he alleges was improper. It wasn't fairly raised in the notice of appeal. So we agree with full adoption of the hearing officer's report, and I'd be happy to answer any questions any of the commissioners may have.
Thank you. Do the commissioners have any questions? Okay. Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there discussion?
This is Commissioner Hankins. There's nothing, I mean, I totally agree with the hearing officer's report. I mean, there's nothing in here that gives rise to timeliness. I know the complainant is arguing that, but there's no discussion about timeliness. The agency, the fact that it was paid, shows that he was not indigent. And it was capable, and the standard used is, the correct standard, that of the Department of Corrections. So I would agree with the commissioner. I mean, the hearing officer's report.
Okay, thank you. Is there any more discussion? All right, I'm going to conduct a roll call of those in favor. Roll call vote of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Mr. Kuzeshi? Mr. Kuzeshi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Weathers. Thank you, Attorney Scalin.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next is docket number FIC 2019-0723, Victor Velasco versus Roland Cook, Commissioner of State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. Are you there, Mr. Velasco?
Yes, I am, sir.
Okay. Are you there, Attorney Brown?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Okay. Would you like to begin, Attorney Brown, please?
I urge the adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Agreed.
I do. I urge the adoption of the hearing officer's report as written.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Velasco.
Hello, commissioners. I appealed, and I'm appealing now on the grounds that there's documents, the report, it relies on the testimony of the of C.S. Campanelli, who was a council supervisor and I think he's the director of the FOI department for the Department of Corrections. He stated that, you know, I was given all of my documents. I know that under, you know, the normal rule, you can't after when you reach this stage, you can't submit new evidence. However, the document that I submitted, and I'm not sure if you received it. Could somebody let me know if, you know, you received my brief?
Yes, this is Colleen Murphy, and yes, Mr. Velasco, we did receive some materials from you, although I would not characterize it as a brief. I think what you filed is more akin to a request to reopen, and yeah. And just to orient the commissioners, at two meetings ago, I believe, Mr. Velasco had indicated that he had submitted a brief and the commission did not have it on hand, and we passed on the matter to enable him to file a brief, and we did have a very minimal discussion about new evidence, and we talked about the fact that you cannot submit new evidence at this level, but we afforded Mr. Velasco the time to file a brief. He, as I said, he filed something more akin to a request to reopen. All of the commissioners should have that, and I will turn it back to Mr. Velasco and perhaps the hearing officer can speak to it as well.
Thank you. Well, what I'm asking is to bring it back to the hearing officer, because in this case, the documents that were submitted is 1,170 171 pages, something like that. I mistakenly put 1,700 in the letter that I sent in, but none of these documents are numbered, and this is a problem, because it's a problem for prisoners, because when we go and have these telephonic conference meetings, it's difficult for prisoners to say, all right, well, this is what's submitted and this isn't submitted. And in a case like this one, there's a numerous number of pages. And for my request, because my request is for medical records. Now, these medical records, they are timestamped. They're electronically signed, and they have dates on them. However, what's submitted before the hearing officer by either party, these pages really should be numbered so that we know exactly what's being submitted and what isn't being submitted. And as I found out after the February 11th hearing, was that there exists more pages to this report, even though I already knew. I made the argument at the hearing. However, I didn't have the evidence at the time because the respondent withheld that, and they should have turned it over, and they didn't. It's just a matter of, you know, can I please have these records? Because these records, the respondent would have you believe that they don't correlate to my request. My request was specifically for my records. And I, even at the hearing, I went and I presented the documents that were not part of my request, but which the Department of Corrections did hand over. I didn't request them, but they gave them to me anyways. But what I'm requesting is the documents that are missing, which is my medical reports. And this page that I submitted, which was an invoice, it was a fax invoice from the Department of Corrections, from the witness the Department of Corrections submitted before the hearing. clearly Monica Vasquez, who's a medical records clerk, a day before the hearing, she knew that there was 2,421 pages of my medical record. And the last submission that they gave was in, that they turned over was in January. So they knew, that the respondent did know that these documents existed. Their claim that it did, that they didn't know and that they went to the computer system, but they didn't find it. That's clearly untrue because, you know, they even charged the $605.25 for these documents, which was paid by this private security firm. And they made the same request that I made for my records. How is it that they got turned over? They turned over 2,421 pages to them, but not to me. And I'm not requesting the new medical records. The claim that there's that records were generated in after my request, and it's even though there's some, there's just clearly not the volume of that being that's being that was turned over. So that's, it's just impossible. Yeah, I'd have to be a medical every day to get to build up another 1,000 pages like that. It's just, or a couple hundred. It doesn't make any sense. But what I'm requesting is, if the commissioners decide, which I'm requesting, is to bring it back before the hearing officer, have the respondent submit the records and number these pages, so that we know exactly what's being submitted and what we can refer to. Because without that, we're going into these hearings blind. We don't know what's being submitted because what's given to the hearing officer isn't being given to us. But what I mean is prisoners in general. And in my case, I don't know what was submitted by them because they didn't number these pages. I'm asking if it goes back to the hearing officer, I'm positive that the hearing officer will see that there is missing pages, that these pages do not amount to the amount of pages that they're talking about. That's me.
Attorney Brown, do you have anything else to add?
I'm sorry. I didn't know that you were referring to me. Yes, I'd like to respond to Mr. Velasco's request. As an initial matter, I think it should be clear that the department did not provide any records to the hearing officer that were provided to him or that were provided to this other entity that he mentioned. The only documents that were submitted were the exhibits that are in the file now. So there is no disparity or, Mr. Velasco was not put at some sort of disadvantage because the department submitted, 1,000 or so pages to the department and did not provide those same records to him. We complied with the requirements of the commission and provided him with a copy of the exhibits, which I believe he had. As to the more, I think, significant issue as to whether the case should be reopened, the department does not believe that a reopening of the hearing is required. It's clear that Mr. Velasco's request was for records from December 19th, 1996 through the present. And when the department responded to his request, they interpreted the present to be March 6th of 2020. So March 6th, 2020 through February 2021, when the department provided records to the other entity, would have generated quite a significant more records in Mr. Velasco's medical file. Even if we were to start the time from January when the department provided the additional records to Mr. Velasco and the time that it provided the records to the other entity, there still is opportunity to produce volumes of records
Mr. Velasco does not know how the department maintains its medical files. He does not know what records are generated typically on a regular basis. Actually, he should, because he has most of them. So he does frequent the medical unit. He does generate a number of requests. He sends volumes of requests, and those requests generate records in the medical file. And for inmates who receive medication, there is a record of every time the medication is administered. So in the case that an inmate may receive a medication three times a day, there would be three different separate records generated for that administration of medication. So it's entirely plausible that Mr. Velasco's records would have accumulated somewhere around 215, maybe even more, between March 6th and February of 2021. We continue to maintain that we provided Mr. Velasco with all of the records that existed at that time. We also provided testimony that during the time of his incarceration, UConn was providing medical services to the department. And so to the extent he has missing records, we do not know, but he certainly should make a request to the hospital in order to learn if many of the records he claims to be missing are maintained by that agency. So again, we do not believe that a reopening of the hearing is warranted. We believe that the hearing officer judged the credibility of the witnesses, had a full understanding of the process, and ruled correctly with respect to the provision of records. We didn't withhold any of Mr. Velasco's records. They're his medical records. He's entitled to get them. But if he wants, you know, the records again, he certainly can make that request and pay for them this time. And with that, I again urge the adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Thank you. Do any of the commissioners have any questions? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Streeter, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'm going to take a roll call, a vote of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Mr. Fizeshi.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
Mr. Winkler.
Yes.
Myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Velasco. Thank you, Attorney Brown.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0253, Diego Vaz, second, Thomas Tenuto, assessor, City of Bristol, Angel Juarez, commissioner, State of Connecticut Department of Correction, and State of Connecticut Department of Correction. Are you there, Mr. Vaz?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Are you there, Attorney Brown?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Mr. Vaz, would you like to begin, please?
Yes, throughout these hearings, what I find is that they conveniently dismiss the fact that the individual who owns that property, he himself gave me the address of that property. So it would appear that he was not concerned of any of these concerns that the Department of Correction is now raising. And that issue was never raised. I submitted to the commission a copy of the piece of paper where he gave me that address. And they conveniently didn't address it.
Thank you. Attorney Brown?
Thank you. I urge adoption of the hearing officer's report. In this case, I believe that the hearing officer, again, heard all the evidence on the record, tested the credibility of the witnesses, and made the correct decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Do any of the commissioners have any questions for either of these parties? Right. Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Kadeshi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler? Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. Buck passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Voss. Thank you, Attorney Brown.
Thank you.
Chairman Egan, this is Commissioner Kuzeshi. I would have one follow-up question for Attorney Brown, if I could, just for my learning.
Attorney Brown?
I'm still here.
I found interesting the argument about how pages are numbered for prisoners when they receive records and how they're able to follow them if they're not numbered. Can you educate me a little bit about numbering of pages and how that works?
So I am not the medical records clerk. So it's my understanding, I have not seen any of Mr. Velasco's.
I'm not referring to Mr. Velasco specifically. I'm just generally trying to understand when records are delivered to prisoners who are, you know, have limited circumstances for reviewing records. Are they numbered in some form of pages, or how do they follow what they, is there a system for this? And if you could just look into that a little bit, I would appreciate it. Or if you could answer that question, I would appreciate it.
I'll have to look at it, Mr. Commissioner.
Thank you. It's just,
I'll have to look at that.
It was an interesting point to me as to difficulty following, if it's in fact the process generally that they're not numbered or often not numbered, what system there is in place for to make it possible for prisoners to, or others, to be able to determine what they had received in an easy and accessible way. Thank you very much. If you could, you know, just we'll look into that a little bit. When appropriate. As a general question, not related to these two specific cases.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Last, we have FIC 20-0193, Charles Cornelius, Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. Are you there, Mr. Cornelius?
Speaking.
Are you there, Attorney McCurdy?
Yes.
Okay. So, Mr. Cornelius, would you like to begin, please?
Yes. I made a request for my master file, and apparently some portions of it were confidential. Before I get into all of that, I just want to make sure really quick that there are no conflicts of interest. So I would just, one question really quick. Does anyone here have any connection to the Hopkins School in New Haven? It's a private school, so maybe you went there, maybe you sent someone there, maybe you've done work for them as an attorney. Anybody have a connection to Hopkins?
My children, all three of them went there, but I don't believe that's a conflict. I don't do work for them. I'm not associated with Hopkins in any way.
Who's this speaking?
Einhorn.
More of a conflict.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. That's all I wanted to know. I'm done.
Go ahead, sir. Mr. Cornelius, do you have an argument?
No, I found out everything I want to know. Let me ask you something, Mr. Einhorn. When you see
you have an opportunity to present.
You know what? I'll save it for the bar. How's that?
You have an opportunity to present your case here and to convince the commissioners to either vote in favor or against the decision made by the hearing officer. What would you like to do, sir?
I'd like to know if they've made up their mind before I had a chance to speak.
You haven't? No, I don't
That's
think anybody
like
made up their mind. You haven't spoken. All you did is ask a question. But go ahead.
When you saw a newspaper article about Hopkins, you already made up your mind which way you were going to vote, didn't you?
No, we're not answering questions, sir.
I'll bet you're not.
I'll bet you're not.
You have an argument you would like to make about...
Yes, I do have an argument, except I'm going to make it in front of the State Bar Association. Thank you very much. I'm done.
If it helps me here...
Say it again.
I'm myself from this particular matter.
You're going to recuse yourself?
I'll recuse myself, but just so the matter can go forward without my being an issue.
Sure. A little late, wouldn't you say?
Well, he recused himself. You still have an opportunity to argue, sir.
No, sir. I found out what I want to know. Thank you very much.
Okay. Is Attorney McCurdy?
Yes, thank you. Mr. Cornelius' request, as he said, was for his master file. At the hearing, he acknowledged receiving it. He alleged that certain forms were missing. However, Counselor Supervisor Campanelli testified that those additional records are not part of an inmate's master file. The additional forms he sought involved victim services and victim notification forms. These forms with victim information are never given to an offender for safety and security reasons. And as I stated, they are not part of an inmate's master file. So I urge adoption of the hearing officer's report as written. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Cornelius, would you like to respond?
No, sir, I'm good.
Thank you. Do any of the commissioners have any questions for either Mr. Cornelius or Attorney McCurdy? All right, hearing none, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I endorse the hearing officer's report and I move its adoption.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I will take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Fuseschi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
Myself, Owen Egan, yes. It passes unanimously. One recusal, and that was Commissioner Einhorn. Thank you, Mr. Cornelius. Thank you, Attorney McCurdy.
Thank you, sir.
So now we have report on pending appeals. Attorney Murphy.
Mr. Commissioner, we don't really have a report on pending appeals anyway, but we do have an item that we added to the agenda, consideration of court order, dismissing appeal in Godbout versus FOI Commission, August 3rd, 2021, and that's Attorney Berman, she's here. She dealt with that matter in the Superior Court, and she's just going to give you a quick rundown on that.
You are muted, I think, Attorney Harmon.
Attorney Harmon is in the other room, but I think she's going to join us.
Technical difficulties.
Sorry about that. So the commission's Godbout's petition from the commission's PRV number one. His petition was dismissed. Unfortunately, we didn't get an adjudication on the merits. The appeal was filed. The petition was filed on March 6, 2020. And by the time we got to oral argument on August 2nd, 2021, 1 year and almost 5 months had gone by. So the commission's final decision issued on March 3rd, 2020. And in the order in that decision, the commission told the petitioners of the town of East Lyme and the East Lyme Board of Education that they didn't have to comply with Mr. Godbout's public records request for 1 year, which would have brought us to March 3rd, 2021. So by the time Mr. Godbout filed his appeal, but he filed so many motions, motion for remand, motion to bring in Commissioner Hankins and Executive Director Colleen Murphy and Attorney Mary Schmidt, our argument, we had to brief, I think we filed 11 briefs in that case. So by the time we got to oral argument, that order relieving the petitioners and some of these findings, the Eastland Board of Education, and the obligation to comply with Mr. Godbout's request had run, and the court felt that it really couldn't give him any relief because there was no order at issue. He had not requested a stay. So the bottom line is it was dismissed as moot, and I wonder if we'll hear from Mr. Godbout on appeal. I don't know, but I'll stay tuned. Sorry about my technological issue.
No, as I said, under pending appeals, we don't have any new appeals or anything other than that report on the Godbout matter for you for appeals. For my next item, the executive director's report, the status of the commission's operations. I'll just reiterate, I sent out an email to you all regarding our operations and brought this up at the last meeting, what I thought we might do, and we've decided to continue with the remote hearings and meetings throughout the initial fall months of September and October, and watching the numbers of positivity rise and concern over the various variants. We've decided that that might be the best course, and we keep monitoring that, and at the end of September, we'll see what we'll do beyond then. I mean, we had hoped for in person, but we're just going to stay the course for now. And I also indicated that we wanted to purchase some technology that would enable us to do multiple hearings, or at least more than one, two hearings for now, at we can do, you know, more than one at a time in a couple of different locations in our offices. So our focus is going to be on trying to get more cases heard, and we're hopeful that maybe just scheduling some matters, we'll get everybody talking, and perhaps we can arrive at some more settlements, and that people who've been waiting a long time will get some attention for their complaints. So that's the plan for now, and of course we'll be updated, and always available if anyone wants to ask questions about that. Under general updates, I don't have any general updates on the staff report. Our staff attorney 2 position, like the first round interviews have been completed, and we're going to schedule the second round probably in the next week or two. And we're hopeful, I think, that we would have another attorney on board sometime in September, we hope. Let's see. Under the legislative report, I didn't ask Attorney Perlman whether she wanted to report anything, but I guess I'll just let you know that we have been asked to consult with this entity that Paula has mentioned before, the Advisory Commission on Intergovernmental Operations, and this is pursuant to the budget implementer, which directed that the commission, among at least one other entity, be consulted about remote meetings going forward. And as we've told you, the statute passed about remote meetings ends in April of 2022. So I think the aim is to get some, you know, people talking about what other provisions ought to go into place, whether we ought to continue in this type of environment, and to do that before the end of the next legislative session so that any new statutory language can be brought forward to the legislature. So we've been asked to consult. We haven't had any actual meetings to consult, so we'll keep you posted on that. Beyond that, I don't think I have any other legislative report. I'm over at Attorney Perlman's here with me. No. I think that's it under new business. We have new business. That's all I have for you.
All right. So I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I motion we adjourn.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. I'll take a roll call of those in favor of adjourning. Commissioner Einhorn? Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeci?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. We're adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Great work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.